Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Joining us live, Dr. Stephen Turkovich, Medical Director at Oshai Children's Hospital. It's always great to hear from Dr. Turkovich. And as we talk about reopening of schools, let me just ask you first to start. Have you had active COVID cases at the hospital? Last time we checked with you, it had been a while since you had one.
Good morning. Thanks for having me. We actually have had four kids admitted in the month of July. I think last time we had spoken, we hadn't had a child admitted since Labor or since Memorial Day. So four admitted in the month of July, the last one being last week. Ages from 5 weeks to 15 years old. Fortunately, all of them very mild. Some of them actually no symptoms, just exposed, and in the hospital just for a few days.
All right, so that's good news to have right there. Last time we talked with you, obviously things looking a little bit different on a day-to-day, week-to-week basis, but we were reacting to, I believe it was the American Academy of Pediatrics sending out that recommendation that children return to schools where it is safe to do so. And you kind of said in this area that it would be beneficial for students to return to school. Do you still think that is the picture right now?
Yeah, I think right now if we can continue to keep the number of cases as low as they are in our community, it certainly would be safe to send them back. I think everybody agrees that from a child's academic and social and emotional development, in-person education is the best. But, keeping the cases low in the community is the number one thing we can do in order to reopen schools and to keep them open.
What would you consider to be good screening protocols for kids to return to school?
So there's a couple things you want to know. First of all, obviously, you don't want anybody going to school who's sick. Number two, anybody who's been exposed to an adult or another person with COVID. Many schools, and I believe the governor is going to mandate this, that they are going to mandate temperature checks for children as they and adults as they enter the school. Many children, as we have seen, are asymptomatic, so temperature checks are not going to capture everybody. And many of the children that we've seen have had other symptoms besides fever, like headaches and abdominal pain. So parents really need to be diligent around understanding how their child is feeling, and if they're having any of those symptoms, even without a fever, you may want to keep them home.
Wanting to expand upon the idea that it is beneficial for children to return to school where it is safe to do so. I think a lot of people, they look at the national picture and they hear, especially in the past few weeks, it's almost become a meme of sorts, this idea of kids returning to school. Why do doctors say it is the safest option for kids to be in school? What are some of the health benefits that maybe people don't necessarily think of outside of learning in the classroom?
Well, there's many things that kids get out of school that go above and beyond academics. So many children have only their healthy meals come from school. Some of them, their only meals come from school, both breakfast and lunch. So food insecurity is a very big problem in this country, and schools will provide that nutrition. The other thing is access to therapies, whether it be physical or occupational therapy, speech therapy, mental health counseling through psychologists in schools. Also, schools are very good at recognizing child abuse. And so when children are home alone and they're not exposed to that environment, child abuse may go unrecognized. So there's a lot of protections that are afforded to children when they do go to in-person education.
All right. Now, you were talking a minute ago about temperature checks and other screening protocols for kids to go back to school. You could have COVID, is this right, without having a temperature?
That is correct. Yep.
So it shouldn't be you could get a false sense of security, right, if you take a temperature and everything looks fine?
Absolutely. That's why, you know, it really needs to be a multi-layered approach. So it's not just temperatures. It's knowing your exposure level to other people. It's being on the lookout for other symptoms like headaches and abdominal pain and just kind of feeling lousy and muscle aches and pains. Any of those things could be COVID. So you really want to be diligent in looking out for all of those.
Okay. And that's always good to keep an eye on almost regardless of age, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's going to be more challenging as we get into flu and RSV season because obviously that's going to be circulating and children are going to be coming down with that. So one of the most important things we can do now is to get the flu shot early. Flu shots should be available by the end of this month and into next month. So the earlier you get it, the more you're going to protect yourselves and then prevent that secondary infection from the flu.
We have been talking a bit about testing because of what the governor said a few days ago here this morning. Want to get your thoughts on this. I've known some people who have tested positive for the virus, and they've asked, you know, should I get the second test to, you know, clear me, so to speak, you know, so I can feel safe and go about, you know, hanging around with other people. And they have been told in some cases no, to not get a second test, because the test could pick up the so-called dead virus and, you know, say that you're positive for the virus, even though it's not active in your system and can't be spread anymore. Is this a significant problem when it comes to testing and testing people who may have had the virus in the past?
Yeah, you know, you're spot on, because early on we used to say that we wanted to have that second test to make sure that you were negative. And actually now the CDC and the Department of Health have moved away from that recommendation for exactly the reason that you stated. The test that we do for the virus is called the PCR, and what it does is it looks for pieces of the DNA or RNA from the virus. And so as your body fights the infection and the cells that were infected start to shed that dead virus, it's still there that can be picked up. So it's viral particles that can't infect somebody else that would be detected and they would show as quote-unquote positive. So right now we're recommending that you should be at least 10 days, if not 14 days, from your positive test without symptoms, and you should be safe to return to work and to school and to normal life.
So about 2 weeks, the same thing we've been hearing. What separates those people who are fine to go, you know, back to quote-unquote normal in 2 weeks versus, you know, some people we have heard have been in the hospital, I mean, over 100 days, many months still battling the virus?
Yeah, you know, those patients that are in the hospital with severe symptoms, there's a couple things that have happened. Initially, it was the virus that was causing the symptoms. Then the body develops this massive inflammatory response, which causes multi-organ failure. So those patients that have been in the hospital for that long, they're actually recovering from the damaging effects of the virus. And it could be anywhere from the heart to the lungs to the brain and any other part of the body, the kidneys. And so that's really what's happening for them. By the time they get out, they're not infectious anymore, but they have those long-lasting effects of the organ damage.
You know, this is being talked about now, COVID testing of students. Do you think that that is necessary and realistic?
Well, you know, given the testing capacity in the country right now, I don't think it's realistic. You know, that's going to be a debate that's going to go on. As we learn more about this virus and what we can do, we may change that recommendation. Right now, at a minimum, we needed to increase capacity just so that we have the ability to test students and staff that are symptomatic and any of those people that they've been exposed to. You can imagine a teacher or a student gets exposed, and their entire family is going to want to get tested because now they're exposed at home, and you can extrapolate that beyond, you know, one classroom in one school district. Suddenly, you're going to be really putting stress on the testing capacity system. So that's something we really need to look at and increase our capacity to manage.
We're talking on the line with Dr. Stephen Turkovich, Medical Director at Oshai Children's Hospital on WBEN Buffalo. Dr. Turkovich, you know, I spent, give you a little insight into my life. I spent yesterday touring daycares across the area looking for a place to put my son, possibly in a month, depending on what happens with schools and things like that. And it was, you know, about as fun as it sounds. And I was amazed, though, at just about every place we went to have said that they have, you know, really no cases of the virus, or in times when they have had a family member of a child, something like that, there has been no evidence of spread from exposure within any of these daycare facilities, which are obviously not at the normal capacity that they are. But, you know, distancing isn't, you know, really a thing when you're dealing with 1-year-olds and stuff like that. Should that be a positive sign for the return to schools, or do you take anything from that that we haven't really heard of any spread in these daycare facilities that have been open throughout really the last 4 months?
Yeah, that's really important. And if you look at other countries that have reopened schools, the same thing has happened. So if we do implement these safety measures, and obviously every school is going to be a little bit different, but implementing those safety measures with enhanced cleaning, hand hygiene, masking, social distancing, that really should prevent the spread. And as we know, kids less than 10, from the research that we've seen thus far, seem to be less likely to be able to spread the virus. So there's a lot of positive anecdotal and studies out there that should be reassuring to parents.
You know, I was just thinking that with the inundation of COVID news from around the country, all of our news feeds, should families here in Western New York feel good about sending kids to school because the numbers here are so low?
Oh, absolutely. I think we've done a tremendous job here in Western New York in coming together as a community and doing what we need to do to keep the numbers low. And if we continue to do this, we should be reassured that sending kids to school is going to be. Now, that doesn't mean there's not going to be bumps in the road, but if we continue on the path that we're on, I think we'll be able to keep schools open.
Is that a change, do you think, for a lot of parents and teachers and everybody involved in this discussion? Is looking at the national picture maybe detrimental to making a decision here locally, because it's really tough to equate what's going on in Texas to what's going on here in Buffalo?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And you know, as I said, the number one thing we need to know in order to reopen schools is what is the prevalence of COVID in the community. And that's a local situation. So we are really fortunate that our prevalence is quite low right now.
Dr. Turkovich, we appreciate the time. Dr. Stephen Turkovich, Medical Director at Oshai Children's Hospital.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.